Amen. Amen. How many have somebody you're looking forward to seeing on that other side? Amen. How many looking forward to seeing Jesus? Boy, isn't that going to be the best thing of all? And I praise God that it's a real place, and it could be today we get to see the Lord. Thank God. Luke chapter 18, if you'll turn there with me, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. Here's a great story of one of the miracles of Jesus, one of the many miracles. And every time we read a miracle of Jesus in the Bible, remember that John said if all the things Jesus did on this earth were written down, the world itself couldn't contain the books. And he squeezed all that into a 3.5-year ministry. What an amazing life and the greatest life that's ever been. But Luke chapter number 18, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin reading in verse number 35. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord today. Thank you that we have freedom and liberty to be here. Thank you for all those that have turned aside to come and worship you today. Lord, I pray you'll bless each one of them for it. Lord, we are grateful for heaven today, and we miss our brother, Brother Mel, and we sure can't wait to see him again. So many of us have loved ones on the other side we're looking forward to seeing. Most of all, we look forward to seeing your face, the one that did save us by your grace. And Lord, today I pray now that you'll help us as we preach the word of God. Lord, I need your help, and I pray that you'll empty me of myself and fill me with your power. I pray, dear Lord, if someone came in the building today that doesn't know Jesus, that today will be the day that they'll trust you as their personal Savior. Please help all of us as Christians that are here today to draw closer to you and be the Christians you want us to be. We really believe we're in the last days before you come back, Lord, and I pray we'll be ready to meet you and not be ashamed at your coming. Just I pray that you will revive us today, Lord, and that's the hope for America today is not necessarily in politics, Lord. The hope for America is in the revival among your people. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts and stir our hearts. And I pray as I try to lift up Jesus today, Lord, that you will draw the lost to be saved and draw those of us as Christians closer to you. And I thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 18, verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. This blind man in this story is a really great picture of every sinner blinded by sin. And the only person that can give sight, whether it be physically or spiritually, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here in this passage where this man, once he received his sight from Jesus Christ and the Lord healed him, we find that there were some things that happened immediately. There was no delayed reaction here. It says in verse 43, and immediately. And I want us today to look at three things, and as we look at this subject, the immediate reaction to a meeting with Jesus. How many of you remember the day that you met Jesus? I'll tell you what, that is the greatest day of anybody's life. And if you're here today and you weren't able to raise your hand and you say, well, I think maybe I've met Jesus, but I'm just not sure about it. Why don't you just make sure of that today? And maybe you're here and you say, I know for sure I've never met Jesus. I know who you're talking about. I know there was a historical man by the name of Jesus Christ that came and walked the earth and healed people and died on the cross. And they say he rose from the dead. But I don't know of a day that I've had a personal meeting with him and I don't have a personal relationship with him as my Savior. Oh my, you're missing out on the greatest thing that this life could ever offer. Somebody could hand you a check for $1 million today. Somebody could hand you a brand new car, your favorite kind of car. Somebody could hand you the nicest house or a dream vacation or whatever it might be. And I'm telling you what, none of those things or all those things combined could never, ever compare to the greatest thing that it is when you trust Jesus as your personal Savior. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 3, someone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So somebody that's not saved, they may have perfect vision physically. They may be able to have an eagle eye and be able to see a mile away, but if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they're walking around blind, spiritually blind. And today, if that's you, you ought to let Jesus give you sight today. But I want you today to notice what happened immediately to this man when he got whenever he met Jesus here near Jericho. It says as Jesus was coming nigh to Jericho, here was a man that apparently lived around there, and some immediate things happened to him when he met Jesus. First of all, number one, as we mentioned, the immediate reaction to meeting Jesus was he received his sight. He received his sight. Look at verse number 42. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight. You know, the thing about it is when somebody is lost in their sins, they don't even know where they're going. They can't see where they're going. The Bible says the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And you may be here today and you say, well, I'm not wicked. I'm not some kind of a terrorist. I'm not some kind of a bank robber or a murderer or anything like that. No, the truth of the matter is, though, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So no matter how good we think we are in the sight of a holy God, we are wicked. That's why we need to receive our sight. And the thing is here, we find here where Jesus told him, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Can I tell you, that's the only way anybody will receive their sight. You'll notice here that Jesus didn't say you need to go do a bunch of good works. He didn't say you need to go be baptized. He didn't say you need to go join a church. He didn't say that you need to do this or do that religious ritual. He simply, when this man by faith called upon Jesus and said, "Lord, I want to receive my sight. I'm blind and I need for you to give me sight." You'll notice Jesus saw his faith and he said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." My friend, that's the only way anybody will ever get saved. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." The Bible says in Romans 6, verse number 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, we find another story where Jesus healed a man and gave him sight, and that's in John chapter number 9. You don't have to turn there. I'd like for you to keep your place, if you will, at Luke 18, unless you keep something to hold your place. But in John chapter 9, we find there was a man that was born blind, and Jesus did an unusual thing. He spat on the ground and made clay out of the spittle, and he anointed the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when the man washed off the clay, he was able to see. Boy, I'll tell you, this man was rejoicing. He was excited, and he was walking around, and people didn't even believe it was the same man. And they came and asked the guy's parents. They said, "Hey, is this the same guy that was blind? He was born blind." They said, "Yeah, that's him." People asked him, said, "Hey, are you the same guy that was walking around blind?" He said, "Oh yeah, that's me." And the Pharisees and the Jews weren't very happy about it, because news was beginning to get around that Jesus could make blind eyes to see, and they hated Jesus. They didn't want for that news to be getting around. So they came up to the man. They said, "Hey, you need to give God the glory. You know this man that you're saying gave you sight. You know that he's a sinner." I love what the man said. He said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that as I was blind, now I see." You can't argue with the testimony. I tell you, somebody, we can argue with people till we're blue in the face, and we can use this argument and that argument. And of course, we know the most powerful thing in the world is the Word of God. But I tell you, you cannot argue with the testimony. Here was a man that at one point was blind. He was born blind, just like every single individual is born blinded by sin. We're all born sinners. But Jesus came along and gave the man sight. He said, "Hey, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is there was a time I was blind, but now I see." Boy, I'll tell you, if you're here today and you're saved, that's your testimony too. You may not know every verse in the Bible. You may not know all the theological way to explain it, but you can tell somebody, "Hey, I don't know what, all I know is that one day I realized I was a sinner. I realized I was blind and on my way to hell, but Jesus came by my way and I put my faith and trust in him. And I once was blind, but now I see." Hey, these Pharisees, they still didn't like it. And so they came up to Jesus, and the Bible says, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." What they were saying is, Jesus, are we blind here? This man says you gave him sight, but we're walking around, we're looking at you right in the eyes. Are we blind? And Jesus said, well, he said, you think that you see, you think that you're okay. They thought, the Pharisees thought that their religion is what was giving them sight. They thought that they could see, but they were walking around blind. Yeah, they could see with these eyes, but they did not have what they really needed, and they did not have their sight given to them by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that may be like you today. You may be thinking that you're okay. You may think, I'm in church on a Sunday morning on the first day of fall, beautiful day, and I could be out on the golf course, I could be out boating, I could be out golfing or whatever. I'm in church, so surely if anybody's going to heaven, I am. There's a lot of people think that. Hey, if anybody's going to make it in, I think I probably will because I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. I'll tell you what, that'll never get you there. That'll never get you there. You may say, oh, I see. But if you've never been to the cross, if you've never been to the old rugged cross by faith and looked at Jesus Christ on that cross and realized he died for the whole world, but he died for you personally. And if you've never been washed in the blood of Christ, you're still walking around blind. But today is the day that you can receive your sight. Oh, man, I'll tell you, he was forever changed. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I love the story of Zacchaeus. As a matter of fact, it's the very next chapter, Luke chapter 19. We won't take time to read it, but I love the story. Here was a little guy, a short guy named Zacchaeus. He had heard about Jesus and the work that he could do and the work he had done for other people. And so he said, I want to get a look at this man. And so he saw the big crowd gathered around Jesus. So he came and tried to look, and I can picture a little short guy. Here's everybody looking at Jesus. He's jumping up, putting a hand on each shoulder, jumping up, trying to see over the people. He thought, this is no good. I'm too short. And so he ran around the crowd and went over to a sycamore tree, and he climbed up in that sycamore tree, probably making sure he was hid behind the leaves, but you can't hide from Jesus. Here came Jesus walking through, and all of a sudden he stopped underneath that tree. Zacchaeus' heart starts to pound, and Jesus looks up, and he maybe sucks his leg up behind the limb. And Jesus looks up and says, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, he sees me and he knows me. Jesus said, come down. And Zacchaeus said, he wants me. Jesus said, I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus said, he loves me. And Jesus went home to Zacchaeus' house and he got saved. Oh, and listen what Zacchaeus said. Now, remember back in those days, the tax collectors, which is what Zacchaeus was, they made their living by charging people a whole lot more than what was actually owed. And so when he got saved, he told Jesus, Lord, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. And if I've robbed anybody and taken something from them fraudulently, I'm going to pay them back fourfold. And Jesus looked at him and said, this day is salvation come to thy house. Oh, listen, he showed some evidence that he was a child of God. He was changed when he went from darkness to light, when he went from blindness to receiving his sight. What about Saul of Tarsus? He was a man that made his living persecuting Christians. He loved his job. Everywhere he went, he was trying to get Christians and arrest them and see them beaten and thrown in prison and even killed. Oh, here was a man that had got every Christian he could find in Jerusalem, and now he had letters to go to Damascus and try to arrest Christians in Damascus. Oh, but little did he know, the man that was going to be doing the arresting is the one that was about to be arrested. And on the road to Damascus, that light shined out of heaven. Oh, he knew who it was. He knew it was the Lord. And he looked up and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Oh, listen, Jesus told him to go to that street that was called Straight. I'm telling you what, that man got saved on the road to Damascus, and later on, God gave him his sight back after he'd sat there for 3 days physically blind. And the Bible says that the same man that was torturing and persecuting Christians, the same man that was arresting Christians, ended up going around and preaching the gospel. And people were amazed, and they said, hey, this is the same guy that was persecuting Christians. Now he's preaching the same Christ of the ones that he used to be persecuting. You know what? Here was a man that was changed. He had received his sight, in his case, physically and spiritually. Oh, listen, you may remember me telling about old Clarence Bailey, and I won't retell the story. I think I told it just recently. But anyway, about the man that his wife and kids went to my papaw's church, and he was drunk at home and shooting his gun up in the air, and my papaw drove past the police, went up there and got him, and all that. They arrested him, put him in jail, and he sat there for 3 days. Wouldn't eat a bite of anything. I mean, he was so discouraged and so depressed. And his wife, who I knew personally, Joanne Bailey, she got some of the ladies together and she said, oh, let's pray for Clarence. And they gathered at that church. They began to pray and said, oh, God, Clarence needs you. He's just a poor lost sinner sitting there in jail, Lord. He needs you. And right there in his jail cell, the Holy Spirit of God came in there and convicted Clarence Bailey. He got on his knees in that cell and asked Jesus to save him. And I'm telling you what, he received his sight that day, and he was a different man. He ended up, kind of make a long story short, they ended up not locking him up for long term, and said he'd give him probation without a gun or whatever. But he was an Eastern Kentucky guy, kind of had that nasal twang, you know. And he would stand up in church and he would sing songs. And one of the songs that he wrote was called 2020 Vision. And he said in that song, I had 2020 vision, but I was walking around blind. And he said in that song, here's the words, but God knew my blindness and had mercy one night. For he sent out his servant to hold me a light. This light came through Jesus. It was pure and genuine. It is the only salvation that's known to mankind. That song ain't going to go number one on the Southern Gospel charts, but I'll tell you what, it came from his heart. He was a changed man. I'm telling you what, he knew what it was to receive his sight. Remember, though, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you receive a gift, if it's your birthday or whatever, Christmas, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. What makes it a gift is the fact somebody offers it to you and all you can do is just receive it. I'm thankful for the day as a young boy I realized that the fact I was a preacher's son wasn't going to get me to heaven. The fact I tried to be a good boy and obey my parents wasn't going to get me to heaven. I knew there was only one way to heaven. It was through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful that I received that gift. And if you're here today and you have sight, there was a day when you received that gift. If you're here today and you're not saved, I tell you what, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. It's just as simple as faith in the Lord Jesus, not a feeling. It's not waiting for some kind of thing to hit you. You know, sometimes we watch that old movie, Sergeant York. I like watching that old black and white movie, Sergeant York. And in that movie, he's riding along, you know, on his mule, and all of a sudden lightning strikes him and he falls to the ground and he realizes, oh man, lightning struck me. It must be time to get saved. You know what? That's not the way that it happens with most people. Sometimes people are waiting for some kind of a feeling. They're waiting somehow for lightning to strike them or for a big giant hand to reach down from heaven, you know, and tap them on the shoulder. Now is your time. I'll tell you what, I can tell you when the time is. The time is now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Whatever it is that's keeping you from being saved, the price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all on the cross, and he offers you that gift. All you have to do is receive it today. J. Wilbur Chapman was a great preacher. In fact, he was the kind of the mentor of the famous preacher Billy Sunday. And J. Wilbur Chapman told this story, and he said that he was already studying for Christian ministry, but he couldn't get his salvation settled. He said, I heard that the great preacher D.L. Moody was preaching somewhere, and D.L. Moody's probably one of the most famous preachers, him and Charles Spurgeon, probably the two most famous preachers in history, maybe. And anyway, he heard D.L. Moody was preaching somewhere, so he went and sat among the big crowd, and at the end, he came forward, and he said, my heart was just excited when the preacher himself, D.L. Moody, sat down beside me. He said, we sat down together and looked over at me, and he said, are you a Christian? He said, I don't know. Sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I think I'm not. He said, he opened his Bible and turned to John chapter 5 and verse 24. And he said, he showed me that verse and said, here, read that verse out loud. So he said, I looked down and I read, verily, verily, the words of Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Boy, isn't that one of the greatest verses you've ever heard? I mean, man, imagine you've never heard that before. Isn't that great? So he said, I read it. And he said, D.L. Moody looked over at me and he said, have you done that? He said, yes, sir, I think so. He said, do you believe it? Have you accepted it? He said, I think so. He said, so are you a Christian? He said, well, I don't know. Sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I think I'm not. I feel like I am, then I feel like I'm not. He said, read it again. And so he said, I read the same verse again. He said, when I got done reading it, D.L. Moody looked at me again. He said, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you done what that verse says? He said, yes, sir, I have. He said, so are you a Christian? He said, I don't know. Sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I think I'm not. He said, read it again. And so he read it again. And he said, he asked me the same thing. And he said, I was just starting to say again, sometimes I feel like I am, sometimes I feel like I'm not. And he said, the only time I ever saw D.L. Moody, and he knew him for years after that, he said, that's the only time I ever saw him where he was kind of getting mad at me. He said, he looked over and said, now look here, who are you doubting? And he said, in that moment, I realized salvation is not a feeling. Salvation is not what I do for God, it's what God does for me. And if I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and put my faith and trust in him, his death, burial, and resurrection, if I doubt it, I'm not doubting what I've done, I'm doubting what God has said. Our salvation is not based on how we feel, it's based on what God says. And he says if we'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be saved. That's how we receive our sight, as simple as that. Number two, notice this immediate reaction here. Number one, he received his sight. Number two, he revised his situation. He was a little bit different than he was before. Notice it says in verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him. Well, I'll tell you what, this guy got an old-fashioned dose of what we call the old-time religion. We're not saved by religion as people know it today, but I'll tell you what, he got saved, and notice, he didn't just say, oh man, Hey, I can see. Thank you, Jesus. See ya. I'll tell you what, he didn't want to leave the one that had given him his sight. He didn't want to walk the other direction. Wherever Jesus was going, you'll notice this. Jesus, as he was walking, I can picture this guy walking straight behind him. Almost like kids playing follow the leader. Man, everywhere, if Jesus would stop, he'd about bump into him because he's right behind him. I mean, he didn't want to leave him. He didn't want to leave him. Oh, wouldn't it be great if those of us that have been saved today, those of us that have received our sight, if we said, I know there's a pool all over the place. Man, there's the pool of the world and there's the pool of the flesh. There's the pool of the devil. People at work are pulling me one direction. My family's pulling me another direction. Neighbors pulling me another direction. Oh, but listen, there's no pool like the pool from the one that gave me sight, from the one that allowed me to be born again into his family. Oh, he followed Jesus in the way. One of my favorite songs is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Oh, he followed Jesus in the way. That's the same thing that happened with that old maniac of Gadara. That guy was out there stark naked in the tombs, possessed with a legion of demons. I'm telling you, people were afraid to go around him. He was out there cutting himself. They tried to chain him up, and he had so many demons in him, he ripped the chains apart. He's out there crying and cutting himself out there, and people are scared to even go by. Oh, but there was one man that wasn't scared. Jesus walked up to him and cast the demons out of him and saved him. And the Bible says when the people came back, they saw that man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And he asked Jesus, he said, Lord, please let me be with you. Jesus said, you need to go and tell your family what I've done for you. But that man, oh, please, Jesus, let me be with you. I'll tell you what, whenever I was a young boy, my dad's best friend growing up, they got saved on the same night. So he was telling me stories and different things, you know. And I knew about how him and my dad were big baseball players and all that. And they played together in high school. And so he promised me, I was just a little bitty guy, probably Travis's size or younger. And he told me, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy you a softball. And he may have forgot about it, but I didn't forget about it. And I still remember, it stuck out to me. He was a member of my papa's church, and we'd go over to that church. And I'm telling you what, when he was standing there talking to somebody, I was standing right beside him. And he had promised me he's going to get me a softball. And I remember somebody remarked about it. They said, man, that boy's standing right there. He's staying close to you. Everywhere he'd go, I'd go right there with him. I was right there by him, you know. And they said, he's staying right there with you. And somebody said, well, yeah, he promised him a softball or whatever, you know. I'll tell you what, I wanted to be with the one that said he was going to give me something. But I'll tell you something that's better than being with the one that says he's going to give you something is somebody that has given you something. Did you ever go out and feed a dog? I'll tell you what, that may be somebody else's dog, but if you ever feed that dog, he's your dog. And everywhere you go, man, that dog's right behind you. I mean, man, that dog's going to follow you around. Why? Because it knows that you've got something that it needs and that you've already given it what they need. I'll tell you what, the Bible says we're just like Gentile dogs. Isn't that what that Syrophoenician woman said? Hey, Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I'm glad I'm just a Gentile dog, but I'm so glad there was one day that some crumbs fell from the master's table. Some salvation fell from the master's table and I received my sight that day. And now, I don't know about you, but there, I'll tell you what, I don't want to be following the ways of the world. I want to be following the one that gave me my sight. I want to be following the one that gave me eternal life, because he still has a whole lot more than I need. And he's got a lot more that you need as well today if you're saved. Oh, my. I think about those 10 lepers. 10 lepers came and they cried out to Jesus, oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Please have mercy on us. And Jesus said, all right, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, by faith, they just went to the priest. All 10 of them were cleansed of their leprosy. But the Bible says one of those 10 turned back and came back and fell down at Jesus' feet. Said, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Isn't that the way it is? So many times, 90% of people, once they receive salvation from the Lord, they just want to go ahead and go their own way. So many Christians today in this world, they don't want to follow the Lord. They want Jesus as a fire escape. They want to be able to get out of hell free card by salvation, but they don't want to follow him. Hey, can I tell you something? Salvation is free, but it costs something to follow Jesus as a disciple. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Oh, listen, where he leads me, I will follow. That ought to be our prayer today. That ought to be our heart today. If we've received our sight from Jesus Christ, how can we not want to follow him everywhere he goes, every day. Oh man, he followed Jesus in the way. Remember whenever Jesus fed the 5,000 and then he started preaching sound doctrine and most of them left. He looked around and most of the 5,000 were gone and there was just the disciples still sitting there. He said, will you also go away? Peter looked at him, and I love Peter's answer. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Boy, I'll tell you, There's nobody else that'll give you what Jesus can give you. There's nobody else, if you're saved, that can give you what Jesus has already given you. Oh, we don't need to fall off and follow this person and that person and all over the place. Oh, no, we just need to get our eyes on Jesus and keep our eyes on him and keep on following him every day. People will let you down, but Jesus will never let you down. There was a young missionary to Africa, a missionary to Africa I read about, and she said the Africans were so poor in this particular African country. She said when they would bring their offering, it was all they could do to get together a handful of vegetables, or maybe they'd pick a bouquet of wildflowers or something. That's all they could bring, but that was the best they had. She said one day this young African girl came, and when the offering time came, she opened her hand and she had a silver coin in her hand that was worth a dollar. And to us, that's nothing, but that was a fortune to her. And at first, the lady missionary tried not to take it. She said, I can't take that. That's too priceless. She said, oh, no. She said, please take it. And so she gave it in the offering. And after the service, that lady missionary asked that young African girl, she said, where did you get something that's worth a fortune? Where'd you get that? That young lady smiled and she said, I went over to a local a planter, some kind of a person that would hire people and buy people really to work for them. And she said, I sold myself as a slave to that planter for the rest of my life for that coin. And she said, I wanted to give that to Jesus. That's an offering that satisfies my heart after what he's done for me. She gave the equivalent of her entire life to Jesus. Should we do any less? Jesus gave his life for us. He shed his last drop of blood for us. He gave everything for us. I'm not saying we ought to just empty our bank accounts and give everything. Do whatever God tells you to do, but I'm just saying this. Hey, listen, we ought to be willing to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I'll be whatever you want me to be. You've saved my soul. You've given me sight. I want to spend the rest of my life till you come back to get me following you every day. Lastly, notice here, he immediately received his sight. He immediately revised his situation, began to follow Jesus all over the place. And then number three, he rejoiced in his Savior. Look at this. And immediately he received his sight and followed him moping around. It sure doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say he followed him with a long face. Doesn't say he followed him looking like his mother-in-law had moved in with him. No, it says here, he received his sight and followed him glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Did you know praise is contagious? Complaining is contagious too. Being depressed is contagious too. But I'll tell you what, when we begin to glorify God for what he's done for us, it'll catch on other places too, my friend. Hey, you say, I wish the church was more exciting. I wish the church was more lively. Why don't we get excited? Hey, listen, why don't we decide? We're just going to, hey, raise our hand every now and then. Say, Lord, you've been so good to me. Oh, you saved my soul. I was lost. I was blind. But you gave me sight. I'd be on my way to hell if it wasn't for you. Thank you, Jesus, for how good you are to me. Hey, listen, we ought to have an old-fashioned revival of praising God and glorifying God. He's been so good to us. Oh, he's been so good to us. Psalm 107 and verse number 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I love reading about old Billy Bray. He was a Cornish miner. He was a wicked man. I'm talking about, he was so wicked that I think even his other lost friends didn't even want to be around him. He was so blasphemous and so vile. His language just profane and filthy and vulgar and blaspheming all the time. But one night, God got a hold of his heart, and I'm telling you, he got gloriously saved. And they said he was an unusual man. He would go all over the place just praising God. By his own testimony, he said this. He said, if you put me in a barrel, I'll shout glory through the hole in the top of that barrel. He said, everywhere I'd walk, I'd pick up one. He said, every time I go walking down the road, I pick up one foot and it says amen. I pick up the other foot and it says glory. He said, everywhere I go, I'm just saying amen, glory, amen, glory, amen, glory, amen, glory. People thought he was crazy, but hey, he had received his sight and he wanted to glorify God for it. He made this statement. He said, God has made me glad and nobody can make me sad. God has made me shout and nobody can make me doubt. I'm telling you what, friends, I'll lay it right down here on the level. I thank God for the privilege of just being an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. That's all I ever want to be. But I'm telling you what, something that our old-fashioned Baptist churches need more than ever now is we need some old-fashioned praising God. The Pentecostals have stolen it from us, but I'll tell you what, we were praising God before they were ever even invented. We were praising God before the charismaniacs ever came on the scene. Don't let them steal our shout. I'm not talking about doing things crazy. My dad was somewhere and they had an offering and they were using Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. And one guy put a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head and ran all around the room. I'm not talking about something like that. Now, if there's chicken in the bucket, that's reason to run around the room. That's reason to praise God right there. I'm not talking about going nuts and doing all kinds of crazy, ridiculous stuff, but I am saying this. God help a Christian that when Tennessee, University of Tennessee scores a touchdown, they'll go crazy and tear their living room apart. But when it comes time to saying, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound," they'll sit there with a face so long they could throw it out the window and use it for a fire escape. I'm telling you what, friend, we ought to get back to praising God. We ought to get back to glorifying God. He's a great Savior. He's a great Savior. Oh, Doug Panett got saved. He was a drinking man, a gambling man, had a big old beer belly. I'm talking about out to right here. He got saved in my papa's church years ago, and he would stand up there and give a testimony. Nobody knew why. He'd put one hand on that big old belly, another hand out like this. He'd stand up and say, "I just got these bubbles. I just got these bubbles." He wasn't talking about the beer percolating in there either, brother. He was talking about the bubbles, that well of water springing up inside. He was talking about the joy of the Lord. He didn't know how to describe it. He just knew there was something bubbling up on the inside. Have you been saved so long you've lost the bubbles on the inside? Hey, have you been saved so long that you say, "Well, yeah, Jesus died for me. Hey, amen. All right, let's go eat." No, let's get back to being excited about being saved. Let's get back to glorifying God. And if we'll get back to glorifying God, all the people, when they see it, will give praise to God too. Glorifying God. Henry Ward Beecher, he was a very famous preacher years ago, and he would have enormous crowds come to hear him preach. One day he was gone or something, and he had a visiting preacher there to preach, and so the place was packed out ready to hear Henry Ward Beecher preach. But then whenever the time to preach came, this other visiting preacher got up and stepped to the pulpit. When he did, a bunch of people in the crowd that realized that Henry Ward Beecher wasn't going to preach just got up and started to walk toward the back doors. And that visiting preacher said, "All right, folks, everybody that came today to worship Henry Ward Beecher, you can walk out those doors. But if you came to worship Jesus Christ, keep your seats. It's preaching time." It's not about who's doing the preaching. It's about who's being preached. It's not about who's doing the singing. It's about who's being sung about. It's not about who's doing the talking. It's about who we ought to be talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ that gave us our sight when we were blind and on our way to hell. We ought to glorify God. You know what? We're going to be praising God for all of eternity. We might as well get used to it now, don't you think? There's going to be a lot of people who are going to get scared when they get to heaven. Unless they have a glorified body, so that's the only way they're going to make it through. But I tell you what, I know some Baptists that if somebody shouted beside them, they'd probably have to call 911 and the ambulance couldn't get there quick enough, man. They'd fall over. So many churches, I heard about one church, man, it was so dead, somebody actually had a heart attack on the back pew and they came to take him out. They took out four men before they found the right one. That's pretty dead. That's pretty dead. God delivers from dead church. Hey, listen, again, I'm not talking about going crazy. I'm not talking about trying to draw attention to ourselves. I'm just saying, listen, we've got a God that loves us and died for us. We got a Savior that gave us our sight. It's worth raising our hand every now and then. It's worth shouting hallelujah or amen every now and then. We ought to glorify God. I like what somebody said. I got excited and just had to shout. Something was in me that had to come out. Amen. Oh, my. Sometimes we can be saved so long that we lose that joy. We lose that rejoicing in the Lord. We ought never do that. But Lee Robertson told about a lady that was dying. And she was laying there on her deathbed, just about to go be with the Lord. She called her family in. They all gathered around her bed. And just in feeble words, she said, "Please sing to me. Sing some hymns to me. Sing me over to the other side." They said, "Mom, what do you want us to sing?" And I'll tell you, nowadays, who knows what the woman would say. "Oh, man, sing me the latest country hit or whatever." But this lady was a dear Christian lady. She said, "There's only one subject to sing about. Sing about Jesus and his love." And they got out the hymn books, and her children gathered around that bed. And they began to sing probably songs like "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Songs like praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Songs like "What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." Probably songs like "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." And as they stood around that bed and as they sang, that lady's eyes closed. And she passed from this old world onto our new home in heaven. Boy, what a way to go. Going out praising God and glorifying God. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to praise God. I'm looking forward to doing a lot of it there. But I'll tell you, we ought to get used to it down here. When you meet Jesus, the immediate reaction is to receive our sight and then to, I'm telling you what, to follow him everywhere we go and then to rejoice in him, to glorify him, to praise him. Notice it doesn't say he was doing that. I hope he kept doing it for a long time, but it doesn't say he kept doing it. As a matter of fact, we know that whenever Jesus went to the cross, we don't know that this man was anywhere around because we don't find any record of it. Maybe his love grew cold like so many Christians does today. Immediately, though, he followed Jesus. He glorified the Lord. And there's a whole bunch of us here today that when we first got saved, when we first received our sight, we were following him everywhere too. We didn't want the doors of the church to be open without us being there. If the doors were open, we're going to be there no matter what. If they're having some kind of a hopscotch tournament, we're going, but it's church time. I mean, we weren't afraid of what anybody thought. Man, when we first got saved, it doesn't matter if somebody thinks we're crazy like they thought about Billy Bray for us saying, hey, have you heard about Jesus? He saved my soul, and tears rolling down our cheeks. I tell you what, we weren't ashamed of it. But after we've been saved for a while, it's kind of like a hot plate of food. I tell you what, it's piping hot, but when you set it down there and just give it a little time, naturally it cools off. And those of us that have been saved a long time, if we're not careful, we can kind of cool off. And the immediate reaction to getting saved is we follow the Lord. Where he leads me, I will follow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We follow the Lord. We glorify the Lord. We weren't ashamed to praise him. Let me ask you, have you been saved so long now that we've lost some of that? Then I ask you this today, have you received your sight? Do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? If not, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Why don't you come today and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story and your word. Thank you for this immediate reaction this man had to meeting you. Thank you, Lord, for the day that those of us that are in this room that are saved on our way to heaven, thank you for that day that we met you. Lord, today I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, sometimes we just need an old-fashioned dose of conviction. Sometimes we need to realize where we are and take inventory and think, was there ever a time I followed you more than I am right now? Was there ever a time I wanted to praise and glorify you more than I'm doing right now? Lord, I pray now that you'll help us to get back to that first love for you. Help us to follow you in the way. Oh, help us, dear Lord, to make that song our life's motto, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Maybe you're telling us to do something. Help us to do it. Maybe you're telling us to quit doing something. Help us to quit it. Lord, I pray you'll help us to glorify you. You're worthy of far more praise than any athlete or any ball team. You're worth way more praise than any politician that fills up a stadium of 25,000 people shouting slogans. Lord, you're the one that gave us our sight. And I pray that today you'll do a work in our hearts and help us to get back to following you every day, glorifying you everywhere we go. And I really believe, like what happened with this man here, Lord, when he began to glorify you, everybody started praising you. And Lord, I believe more people would be drawn to you for salvation if they'd see some Christians that are glorifying you everywhere they go. I pray most of all, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, please let today be the day they receive their sight. Help them not to wait for some kind of feeling. Help them not to think all the ducks have to get in a row. But help them to realize you've already paid the price in full. And now this invitation is offered to them to come and receive you as their Savior. I pray, Lord, you'll move in our hearts today. Help us, dear Lord, to burn red hot for you as we're waiting for the trumpet to sound. Set us on fire for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed as the music begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, these altars are